This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Happy Wednesday. Hope you're having a great week. Well, we're talking today about how to stand and battle, how to keep perspective in battle, and why those battles happen when just when you decide to step out, the enemy stirs it up. Have you ever noticed that? When you step out in faith, he stirs up trouble. Maybe you decide to put on an event or go on a trip or start praying with your wife. And precisely at that time, the enemy throws opposition your way. Well, what we're going to explore today is how do you stand amidst those battles? How do you keep perspective? And then why does it matter? I remember when I was telling these girls who I have in studio, can't wait to introduce them to you, but when my book, Balance That Works When Life Doesn't, came out, the month my book on balance came out, I lost my balance. I was at an event, a speaking event in the mountains. I was bowing my head, praying, just waiting to step up as they were introducing me, and they opened the podium, ready for me to come up. I opened my eyes, I looked up, and the room started to spin, and that began a three-month battle with vertigo that was so horrific, and I thought, define irony, release a book on balance, and lose your balance. I remember a time, now this isn't spiritual warfare, but it's funny, I have to tell it. I was on a mission trip, and I was so scared. You know, some of my story, I deal with a lot of fears, and I've overcome a lot of fears, but that was my middle name. I was afraid every step of the way on this trip, and then they wanted the team to split up in these little rowboats and go out onto the sea, and these little local guides would take us across the sea to this island, and I thought, I'm going to be the person who drowns. I just know it. I'm so scared. We get out, and these guys, you know, the other guides, they're just strong, and they're going, and they have a little motor, and they're taking off, and we get way far out, and then we run out of gas. And guess what my guide's name was? Lucky. And I'm thinking, define irony. Face your fears, get in a little boat with a guy named Lucky, and yours is the only boat that runs out of gas. What are the chances of that? Of course, there was no warfare going on there, but I thought it was funny. But oftentimes you see irony and even see worse than that. That enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And I don't know about you, but I often hear people say, wow, when I see some of the stuff you deal with, I want to do what you do, but I don't want to deal with the battle. I don't want to pay the price. So why is the price worth it? We're going to talk about that today. In studio, I have two fiery, wonderful, seasoned women of God to talk about this very thing. They are no stranger to spiritual battle. They're serious in their faith, and the enemy's threats are not enough reason to keep them at bay. So I'm excited to talk about this with these two women. Carol Lund is a Christian visionary, definitely, leader and mentor, dear friend of mine. She's the director of Bridging the Gap Women's Ministries and the Department of Women's Ministries for the Minnesota District Council of the Assemblies of God. She's a wife, mother of five, and a grandmother of 12. And she's learned that God's word will mix with life's experience to create the wisdom that we need for life. I love that. She walks that principle out in her everyday pursuits, as well as many opportunities that she's asked to speak at from churches, conferences, college seminars, and such. Her vast experience and sense of humor create an environment that is motivational, educational, fun. Every word of your bio, Carol, is so true. Pastor Laurel Bunker serves in the community of Bethel University in two primary ways. First, as the Dean of Campus Ministries. She's a member of the President's Executive Leadership Team, providing strategic guidance on issues related to the spiritual formation and personal development of the student body. Excuse me. As campus pastor, she serves as the primary preacher in chapel and leads a vibrant and gifted team that is dedicated to providing transformational ministry opportunities for the Bethel community. When she's not preaching at Bethel University, Laurel travels throughout the country teaching and training at colleges, churches, and parachurch organizations in the areas of leadership, spiritual development, and biblical issues. Girls, welcome. So glad to have you both with us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Susie. It's awesome to be here.
Well, it is going to be a powerful conversation because I can feel the power in the air already.
We're having fun.
Amen.
So this is the first time I've met Laurel, but Carol is a dear friend of Laurel's. Carol's a dear friend of mine, and Carol has this uncanny ability of connecting people. And whenever we get in a conversation, Carol will go, oh, that reminds me of my friend Laurel. You got to meet her. You got to meet her.
I've only been trying for about a year to get these two together, it's and here true. We are today.
So Carol and I are sitting in the conference room having a lunch, just chatting, and always our conversations go to what the Lord is doing. And who dances in the door doesn't walk in the door. She dances in the door. And I'm like, okay, I've known this woman forever. We were destined to be friends, right. Laurel. So glad to have you.
Thank you so much.
Well, we like to start out all of our interviews talking scripture. And I'll start with you, Laurel. Is there a passage or even a chapter, a passage, a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days?
Yeah, there are many. But I think for me right now in this season, it's Ephesians chapter 5, really beginning at verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Mm. And so I'm really living my life on purpose, with purpose, recognizing that the busyness of my life, the enemy loves to use my busyness.
Amen.
And when life gets busy, the word of God can seem like a good idea, but it is not the guiding force of my life. And so right now it's about making the most of every moment, recognizing that the days are evil. So
that's
why I'm living that and then going right on through into Ephesians 6. That's where I'm living right now.
That is so good. We have Dr. Greg Smalley on the show regularly. We love this man. And he said that the Chinese characters for busyness is it has a symbol of life and the symbol of killer. So busyness is life killer.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Life killer.
It is so true.
And we can think we're doing so many good things, and they may be good things, and they may even be bearing a little bit of fruit, but it's not the best thing, and it's not the most fruit.
That's
and I
it.
Think that's where we got to make the distinction. That is so good. How about you, Carol?
You know, I'm in Ephesians as well, and if I'm at Ephesians 3, and the Lord has not loosed me of this verse. It's Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. And that has been my verse the last 2 years. And we no longer can stand on flesh and what's happening around us, but we need to stand on his power, and he has all power for us, and he wants to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can imagine or think or ask. And he is at work doing all of these things in our lives and in our families' lives and in the opportunities of ministry that we have way beyond we have even, they've even been birthed and the inception.
That's so good. As you're talking, Carol, I'm thinking of, is it 1 Corinthians 4:20? For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power.
Of power.
Yeah. And it's not a list we subscribe to. It's not just even things that we discuss or argue about. It's kingdom power. And is it 1 or 2 Peter? It talks about he's given us these very great and precious promises so that we can participate in the divine nature. And that's what we're talking about today, participating in the divine nature. And if we don't understand that this is a battle and that we need God's power to stand, we will be pushed around all day long. So the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, as John 10:10, right? Says, but Jesus says, I come that you have life and life abundantly.
And life abundantly.
That's right.
And that's where it goes right back to this power. And it's the Holy Spirit that we so often put on a shelf, or we're afraid to tap into his power. It's there.
And so we're going to talk about that today. So let's talk about the behind-the-scenes battles. Maybe even just a story to start with from each of your lives of when you said, okay, Lord, I'll step out. And now you know enough. I mean, we're seasoned, all of us, hopefully enough to know I'm going to be opposed when I step out. But when I know I'm called, I'll still be standing when it's all said and done. But can you think back to a time where it really stuck out to you, where you said yes to God, or you stepped up to something, and right away the opposition came? What happened, and how'd you stand, Laurel?
I remember when I was first called to ministry, and that was a very odd thing because the denomination I grew up in just did not have women in primary roles. And I had been in a very difficult relationship and chose to leave that relationship for my own personal and spiritual health. I had had two friends that were murdered in a short period of time during those years, Christian women who I think became too desperate for the ideal of a godly man. And I don't know what happened, but I lost those two women. And I was called to ministry in the midst of that. I remember kind of laying on the floor in kind of this fetal position saying, Lord, what do you want to do with me? But I heard clearly the call during that time, and it was confirmed in a church by a pastor who took that chance on me. But I remember as soon as I said yes to that and stepped out and went into seminary, I remember a spirit of fear really tried to attack me. And I remember the enemy feeling, hearing his voice as if you do this, I will expose you. I will expose everything you ever did. And I just had not known enough about God's promises. And I thought, well, I can't do this. I can't. I can't minister because my whole life, my sin is always before me, God. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that I had not yet known enough about God's word and promises to be able to put that back in the face of the devil and say, bring it on, because mm-hmm. my Lord has already redeemed me. You can't do anything mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. And so I remember really listening, reading Joyce Meyer, The Battlefield of the Mind, learning to put my thoughts together, learning about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you the number of people who have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. We've reduced him to a vapor or a dove rather than the very Spirit of God on the inside of us. And I'm telling you, I lived in that word and I served through my fear. And I sought people out who believed and had enough discernment to see the God in me and on my life. And I surrounded myself with those people and I ate and slept and drank the word of God. Mm. And even then, as I walked through those difficult times, I had sexual perversion come my way, or an old relationship from the past, or just crazy things. But I grew so much in wisdom that the Lord told me how to battle those things. But sometimes you can get battle fatigue,
yeah,
where you're so busy battling that unless you're surrounded by, you know about the great cloud of witnesses and people standing with you who are as strong as you, if not stronger, then you can become overwhelmed by the battle fatigue. That is what the body of Christ has to realize. We've become so individualistic in our religious activities, or so divided by our things, or so afraid of the devil, so afraid of somehow what the devil has to use against us is stronger than what God says about us, that we become inactive.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got to realize that when we sit in silence on the sidelines while other people suffer, it's because we've believed a lie over the truth. And I decided, I've already given the devil too much of my life. He's
Amen.
Had too much of my life.
That's
I refuse. And I refuse
that.
To have my children or whatever God gives me, I refuse to have that passed on to them. So I learned about generational curses. I studied spiritual warfare. And I knew that God's plan for me was to be a devil slayer, not one who was a devil proclaimer.
Hmm.
And so I have given my life to that. And it doesn't mean that fear doesn't ever come. But when the word is in you and you rise up in that word, you realize that when the devil knows who you are in Christ, he has nothing mm-hmm. that he can do to mm-hmm. you.
You know, Laurel, I learned through our work with International Justice Mission that the worst crimes are perpetrated against the poorest of the poor, not because there mm-hmm. are laws that don't. There are laws on the books that mm-hmm. exist to protect them, but they don't know about them and nobody's enforcing them.
That's
so
it.
There's a technical law
yes.
on the book. They don't know it. And so the perps know that they don't know
yes.
it, and they go in and they rob them blind. And I think that is a
mm-hmm.
picture of the enemy going, I'm camping on the assumption not only do you not know
yes.
who you are and whose you are, but that nobody else will enforce it. So I love what you're saying. You're not only standing for yourself, but you're enforcing it for other people. And Carol, before we get to you, I want to highlight a few things you said, that fear still comes up. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it just, and that's the reality. Mm-hmm. That's why we need
that's
our shield.
The reality.
That you kept moving forward in spite of your fear, that you stood on God's word being true, even though this other thing maybe felt true, that you had godly people in your life. Those are all profound pieces of wisdom
mm-hmm.
That keep us moving forward. And we will gain ground and we will win battles when we put some of those things in place.
That's it. And there can't just be this, we've become, I think, kind of culturally thoughtless, that we expect that if I pray and I ask something, then God's going to have to do it on my behalf and I should never have to suffer or go through anything. We have got to learn that faith and patience work together.
Yes.
And that when we stand on God's word, our job is to walk it out. When you think about Joshua, as Moses died and he said, take these people into the promised land. But he said three times, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of great courage.
Yes.
The things that we face, it doesn't mean that we're prepared. It doesn't mean it's on our, mm-hmm. our curriculum vitae. It doesn't mean that we've read or written books on those things. It means at some point, all the stuff that we've heard all the years about God, we've got to stand on. My pastor, mm-hmm. who's a brilliant man of God, said, the time is done to be preaching about a God that we cannot manifest.
Hmm.
We've got to stop talking about a Jesus that we cannot manifest. And the
yes.
primary way that we manifest this God is to live him with our lives. And when we step out and we cross over the Jordan, when we cross over into the promised land, not having yet received yeah. that promise, we will see things open. But God is not going to just pick us up and carry us all of the time. We've got to show him, I trust your word. I believe your word. I know who you are. And because of those things, regardless of what I'm afraid of, I'm stepping
moving
my foot out. I'm
out.
Moving. And as
That's
I move,
right.
the Holy Ghost and his power will meet me. And it happens every single
That's
time.
Exactly right. Well, we just recorded this coming Monday's show. And one of the things that I was thinking about is we tend to have the opposite responses both to the battle and the enemy and to God. So when the enemy bullies us, we cower and we cover our heads. When God addresses an inconsistency in our life, we stiffen up and get rigid. Mm-hmm. Both are wrong responses. When the enemy bullies us, that's when we stand up and go,
yes.
Wait a second here.
Yes.
You don't get to do this to me anymore. And when God touches something, that's when we go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's when we bow and surrender. Mm-hmm. And we got it backwards. And so this is an important part of the process. Okay, Carol, how about you? Talk about a time where you felt called out.
I'm going to come from a little bit more of a practical end from way back. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and I was mentored very strong by my parents, but my grandparents who came over on a boat from Sweden. And there wasn't a time in my life that I did not have that constant push of, with God, you can do all things. And with God, with Him, all things are possible. And I grew up knowing that as a child. I grew up knowing, growing into my teenage years. And I can distinctly remember the day laying on my bed at age 16 when the Lord called me. And, you know, I'm sitting here today and I'm going, did I know what that call looked like way back then? But it happened. It was real. I can tell you where I was and what I had on. And He is with us. He is with us. Mm-hmm. And that is what it is all about. And He takes us. And at that point in my life, did I know that I would be going through losing two children? Did I know that we would be going through an economy crunch 30 years ago and absolutely losing everything except our souls and our kids? Did I know that one of our children would be burned over 40% of her body and we would spend 22 years in a burn hospital? When you're in ministry, when you're called and when you're in ministry, regardless if the ministry is little or whether it is much, there are attacks from every end, and they look different at different stages of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely practical.
Yeah.
But it is real.
Yeah.
And
it's part of the reality.
It's part of the reality.
So what do you say? I'd love an answer from both of you. What do you say to that person who looks at you and says, well, I want to do great things for God. I want to fulfill the purposes of God over my life, but I sure don't want to pay the price you two have been paying. What do you say to that?
I would say sometimes it feels like what I have gone through because of the Lord's great mercy, I have
yes.
not been consumed.
Mm-hmm.
His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. You don't say yes to God and then try to forecast what's going to happen down the road, because if you do that, you're going to live a life in fear and you're going to be paralyzed. Instead, I'd say, great, if you want to do great things for God, do great things for God, because He's a great God.
Mm-hmm.
And know that as you go along the way, should you meet challenges in the road, and you will, you'll in not only from non-believers, from believers, from people in the church, from your own family members. But, you know, if the word of God is in you and the greater one is in you, you will come through those things. And you will stronger. Find yourself, be stronger on the mm-hmm. other side. It never looks like that when you're in the ship, when you're in the boat and the waves are crashing. The first thing you think is, Lord, don't you care that I'm going to die?
Mm.
But you forget, if He's in the boat,
mm-hmm.
the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave, you're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So go out and do great things for God, because what I'm doing for God is because of God's favor. As I've said to people, I'm just a girl that said yes to God. I am nothing extraordinary.
Absolutely.
I am just a girl who said yes to God and dared take God at His word. I didn't give myself the labels, the master's degrees, the whatever. That's not anything. I just was putting one foot in front of mm-hmm. the other.
I think you got the
and
title of your book, Laurel, The Girl Who Said Yes to
the
God.
The Girl Who Said Yes to
that's
God.
That's a
there
great,
we go, Laurel.
Great book title right there.
So I better get to writing.
When you
just
do.
Wait till the show's over, though.
Okay. When you say yes to God, that you don't just line everything up. You just
mm-mm.
say yes out of pure obedience and saying, God, okay, I am your girl. I am ready to do what you have called me to do, mm-hmm. what you have created me to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is what it's all about.
Well, we've been going through on the Mondays, been going through a section at a time of your beautiful purpose, just celebration of my new release, which I'm so excited about. But we've been talking about, what is that beautiful purpose? And I would love your opinion, but my sense is for some it's a missional cause. You know, some might, you know, build a shelter for battered mm-hmm. women or whatever. whatever, or others, it might just be a hidden influence. So it might not have a particular name to it, but we all are called, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's several steps to it that I see, and I'd love for you to speak into it. But one is, of course, the first and foremost is to walk intimately with God. I mean, that's your purpose in God, is to enjoy continual fellowship with Him. Two is to do the next thing He tells you to do. It's not rocket science. You know, He'll give you an overarching vision, but more important than that is the next thing, because it might even seem to contradict the overarching vision, but He gets to decide what the next step is. Third is to give Him access to your story, your hurts, your wounds, your pain, your fears. Yes. And fourth is to dare to ask Him to do the impossible in and through you. Do you dare to ask Him, Lord, do something in and through me that's totally disproportionate to who I am? And to me, then it plays out in each of our lives in a different way. But to me, that's the glory of it. What do you say, Laurel?
I would agree to those things. I think, you know, continuing to keep the Word in front of your eyes at all times and pray without ceasing, because there are times in your life where you're doing those daily things and you feel as though somehow you're failing God. An example is when my husband and I started having our beautiful daughters, you know, I went from having a regular time in the morning with God to feeling as though every time I put my foot on the ground, one of the babies would cry or they'd need something or the house was a mess. And I said, Lord, my time with you, my quiet time, I'm not going to be able to be with you like I want to. And one of the things that the Lord showed me is as the girls could walk and they came down the stairs and they'd have their blankets, He said, don't shoo them away. Let them lay on your lap and by your feet and let them learn what it is to be talking to you. And when you're crying before me and they're wiping your tears, teach them the difference between tears that are holy because you're in the presence of God. Mm. You know, and so I had to learn to pray without ceasing. I had to learn to flex. I had to learn to constantly keep a prayer on my tongue and the Word in front of my eyes. His Word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. And so sometimes we can become very regimented and say, this is my job as a Christian. It's to read X number of chapters a day, and it's to journal, and it's to do these things. But when life changes, then we're angry at God. Seasons come, and we need to then flex and say, Abba, show me how to rest in you and be in your presence and in your face where you are at all times. And that's going to look different.
Yeah. And it'll feel different. I mean, that's grace. That's the get to versus the ought to and the should do. You know, we get to be in His presence, and He gently leads those with young. And so that's His heart for you. And I think we make a legalistic rule out of it.
We do.
It becomes so much about our striving. What about you, Carol?
Well, you know, He wants us to not only say that we're going to spend time in His presence, but we need to practice His presence. And I agree with you, Laurel. It is Him on our heart and our tongue at all times. And that's what it's about. It truly is.
And some people will say, oh, that's religious. Or, I mean, I've gotten that a lot from people. Can't you talk about anything but God? You know, I spent the first 20 some odd years talking about everything but God and doing everything but God and talking about this song or this person or reading something out of People magazine. The Lord is worthy of my praise.
Amen.
And if my articulation is constantly Jesus this or Jesus that, well, you know what? That's what it's going to be, because
that's
I gave the enemy my time before. The Lord gets my life and He gets my words and He gets my days and my nights and He gets my confession. And when I fall, I know that I need to get back up and my words need to match my actions. And I need to live those together. Because if your words and your actions don't match, that's when people start to look and kind of, you know, snarl and say, you're not really a believer. But even in pain, when your words, your confession matches what God has already said.
Yes.
As you walk with tears in your eyes, people will say, that woman must really believe in God. That man must really believe in God. And that's what I've learned.
And you know, the bottom line is, when the rubber meets the road, when we're in situations and we're being challenged and we're stepping out in faith in, you know, be it a conference or regardless of what it is, the opposition will come. And it's when we step out in faith and in faith, believing that He is our strength. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is my sustainer. He is the lover of my soul. You know what? That's what it's all about. Yeah. That's what walking in faith is all about. And that ever presence. I mean, it's just so exciting to think that He is with me.
He is with us, and every battle is a winnable one. You know, this is the thing, is that He won't let us get in a battle that we can't win. I remember when I was a little girl, about 3 years old, and my dad was looking out the window very intently, and I kind of crawled up on the counter, and, you know, what you looking at, Papa? And he's watching my older brother in a fight with the neighborhood bully, and it didn't look like it was going well on my brother's behalf. And I'm tugging on my dad's sleeve, go get him, go get him. And he just never took his eye off my brother. He said, I have to, I won't let him lose, but I have to let him fight. He said, if he never faces this guy down, he'll always have to deal with him. And that is such a picture to me that we have to learn to fight. I mean, there's giants in our land because we've got to learn to fight. That's why we have the war for the weapons of our warfare.
Susie, there's giants every day in our lives, and they just look different at in every season.
Yeah.
And I,
but
know,
overwhelming victory belongs to us.
Keeping your eye on who he is.
That's right. Well, if you just tuned in, I expected to open the phone lines up before this time, but I got busy. This is a good conversation. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Laurel Bunker and Carol Lund in studio, two very seasoned godly women. We're talking about the behind-the-scenes battle, how you stand, and why it's worth it. But now I'm going to open up the phone lines. We've got some books to give away. I know for sure we've got two copies of Lisa Bevere's Lioness Arising, but some other great books as well. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And if you're in the battle and you need someone to stand with you, these women know how to pray. I love to pray, too. So give us a call, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Suzy@faithradionet.com, Suzy@faithradionet.com. In a moment, we're going to give you just some tangible tips for how you stand in these different seasons of life. So glad you tuned in today. More with Laurel and Carol in just a moment. Whatever comes my way, I will trust you. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're having church today, folks. So glad you're here with us. We're talking about the battle behind the scenes. When you decide to step out in faith, that enemy will stir up trouble. But remember this, overwhelming victory belongs to us. We have everything we need to stand and fight. And God will not let us enter a battle that we cannot win. So we don't need to be cowering in fear. We need to stand in faith. We have to remember whose we are, who we are. Love to talk with you. What have you learned about the behind-the-scenes battle and how to keep walking? Or maybe you're in a battle right now and you want us to stand with you. We'd love to pray with you. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Suzy@faithradionet.com. I have Laurel Bunker and Carol Lund in studio today. And girls, let's talk about the before an event or before whatever, the during and the after. Is there a circumstance or scenario, let's say we're talking about an event, a mission trip or a retreat, that you're more vulnerable to attack, before, during, after? Is there a thought for any of you, either of you?
Well, when we do an event, or for example, when we went into Panama last year, last summer, we were asked by the governor and senators of Panama City to do the first girls' conference for the entire city of Panama City. And this I knew, that there would be warfare. The warfare beforehand was absolutely incredible, but we stepped up the pace. We prepared for that warfare. But what we didn't realize, that the warfare would, it didn't quit until we, it didn't even quit when we got home. In fact, it's still continuing. Mm. And when we got there, it was like a minute by minute, almost an hour by hour, different scenarios would happen, or this company would say, no, we can't bring the sound in, or this company would say, we can't do this. So we had to be changing at all times.
Talk to me real quick, though, for someone listening going, when you say warfare before, What does that look like? Because, you know, some will say there's a demon behind every bush, and I know you're not that person.
I'm not that person.
No, but the reality is others may explain away perpetual harassment, and that can be and often is warfare.
It often is warfare. Yeah. And, you know, for example, when you know that you've done everything to the best of your ability, and you've crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's, and everything is absolutely in place, and then you proceed down this path, and all of a sudden, absolutely everything breaks loose and goes wrong. And they're all little things, but you pile a whole bunch of little things together, and you've got an earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I go back and I think, you know, I've been thinking about, as Laurel, as you've been talking, you know, it's that preparation, mm-hmm. that preparation time of being able to look the enemy right smack in the eye and say, you know what, this is the enemy. So let's just go on. Let's just precede and let's go to plan B, C, or D, or maybe it's G, mm-hmm. and not give him the room to stand. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be shaken by that.
That's right.
There were many, many pieces beforehand. When we met with the team, for example, and we brought them in, there were 140 of them, and from five states, and they were communicating with us through face cams and everything else. And we would say, we would do the training, and we would say, you know, this is how what you're going to potentially experience. This is what we're experiencing now. But here, just recognize who the enemy is. And I think this is why we so desperately need the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that awareness who we need to recognize.
Yeah, and the idea of preparing is really so important, especially when you're preparing a team, mm-hmm. that these things might happen, and this is the response. And I think that's a practical mm-hmm. thing. We've got some calls coming in, but I want to know, Laurel, did you have anything you wanted to say about the before, during, and after?
For me, generally my role in a before an event is usually the speaker. And so for me, the warfare or the stress or the tendency to fear, because you're right, it's not always the enemy. If I haven't gotten sleep the night before, that's right. Not the devil, that's me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's me trying to do too much. But for me, it's usually the preparation of the word. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's bringing every thought captive. It's the fear of what if they don't hear me, or what if this is a whole different audience, or Lord, mm-hmm. I'm the only person of color and I'm speaking to a group of people and they're staring at me. And mm-hmm. So all of these things that get caught in the I, which is where Satan loves to live.
Isn't that the truth?
And so I have to say, regardless, I have done my work. If I have done everything I have needed to do, I say, now, Lord, you take this word, you take it and you bless it. And He does it every time, and that's why the Lord, I think, has blessed me in preaching and teaching the gospel.
Well, indeed. I'm going to take Ethel's call from Howard Lake. She's got a question for you. Ethel, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. What's your question today?
Well, actually, it's more of the first time God woke me up in the middle of the night to pray for someone. I thought, Lord, you got to be kidding. I can't do this.
Mm.
And the Lord kept saying, do it. Mm. And then I'd argue, oh, but Lord, I got to go to work in the morning. I'll be tired.
Mm-hmm.
What it was a friend of mine. He had no brakes in his car. And I prayed, and he said it was just like an angel was in front of his car, slowing it down. And I thought, what happened if I hadn't been obedient to pray for this man? What would have happened? And you know, the next day, I had so much energy, I just
couldn't do it. Ethel, you're great. I am so grateful that you told that story, because that's a perfect example that, you know, when we talk about the need of the Holy Spirit, and He does speak, but we need to respond, and Ethel responded. And she, you know, God used her potentially to save a life. Ethel, thank you.
Can I jump in with Ethel?
Sure, sure.
I know who Ethel is, and I want to say thank you, because you have been an intercessor of mine for almost 30 years. Thank you, my friend. Mm. And God bless you, and have a great afternoon.
I want a friend named Ethel.
I still pray for your family. Mm.
Thank you, Ethel. I love the name Ethel. How cute is that? All right, we've got Lisa calling from Wisconsin, and she's got a question for you today. Lisa, welcome.
Hi, ladies.
Hey.
I'm gonna I'm hoping I'm not going to get too emotional with this question, but I'm in the middle of a difficult season. I have a family of the past 4 years, a new family, three stepchildren. Faith is new to us, and God has really called me out to break the bondage of anger and emotional abuse and criticism and a lot of bad stuff in this family. And I know I can't do it. I know God only can do it through me. But what happens when you're faced with the opposition of your spouse, of the man that loves you and is a godly man, but something's just going on there where you just can't see?
You know, there are times when the enemy, what the enemy is really wanting to do is to keep him from really walking in the fullness of who he is called to be. So many men do not know how to be king and priest. And when you step up, so often that might seem, the enemy might allow
like
his eyes to see the distraction, or he might be threatened by that. Sometimes it's particularly in a new marriage, and when you, when the family is new and you're walking in that, you need to find a prayer closet and a place of quiet, and you need to learn how to pray in the Holy Spirit and pray for him and with him. Because, and if you know that he's combative right now, sometimes the best thing to do is say, Lord, give me the wisdom to be able to speak words that he will hear. Lord, I pray that you would move on his behalf and move on my behalf. Lord, help my words be seasoned with salt so that he knows I'm not coming against him or critiquing him or saying he's a bad father or a bad husband. But Lord, help me to you to have my words be seasoned to such a degree that he sees that he, I'm lifting him up. Mm-hmm. The enemy can so bring, it's like Saul and David. Do you remember when the women came, and I was listening to this on the way, the women said, oh, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And all of a sudden, Saul became enraged and jealous, mm-hmm. because now Saul said, well, all I have to do now is give him the throne. I mean, he's taken all of my identity. When we start to step into new relationships, there are times when people feel like their own identity is compromised because they're having to shift. And for some people, that's a very difficult thing. If he is becoming combative right now, step back, pray in the Holy Spirit, serve him, honey, serve him,
yes,
and love him. But go in your prayer closet and surround yourself with women of God who have been through, because some of us have been through that and know what that is, and recognize that so many of these men, if he hasn't had a father of his own, or if he's been hurt by other men, or he's had an absence of mentorship, he doesn't always know how to receive. And so pray for him in the secret place, and God will bring those greater things to pass in his time.
Such a good word. And as Laurel's talking, Lisa, I'm thinking of James 1. This, I've just been sitting here for a while in the camping in that first paragraph where it says, consider it pure joy, which means unadulterated joy, when you encounter trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And so right away, as you apply the things that Laurel's saying, you're going to become a better warrior. Mm-hmm. You're just going to, it's going to be in some ways sparring practice for you, because again, you have the authority over the enemy. You know your husband's not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. So as you stand and you go, I'm going to persevere in love. I'm going to persevere in prayer. I'm going to persevere. Well, later in that passage, it says that you ask for generous amounts of wisdom and you'll get generous amounts of wisdom if you ask, knowing God will provide. So in every battle, there is a need for wisdom, and that's why that promise is paired together.
And you can't be tossed at the end of that. It says to and fro. And a key to that and to your situation, I think, are words of affirmation.
Yes.
And write that word down, affirmation, and do a mini study on it, because you will be amazed at how far that word of affirmation goes.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Lisa, thank you for that call. I have the feeling that was probably for many people listening today. Well, as I was thinking about the before, during, and after, and again, I like you, Laurel, more thinking of speaking, but I know this applies to anything
it does.
Step out. And I excuse the alliteration, but it's fun. So anyway, so before an event, I wrote discouragement, during, distraction, and after, the enemy dissects you. So before, the enemy tries to work, for me, in bringing discouragement, tries to move me away from courage, and oftentimes it's because of health attacks for me.
Yes.
What were you going to say?
Well, in the biggest word, it goes back to what Laurel said earlier.
Moving away
from
fear
is the binder of all things.
Mm-hmm.
Fear controls us. Fear binds us. And if we submit to fear, we're stopped at every, whether it's beginning, middle, or end.
Yeah. And it really strangles up our courage.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
totally.
Yeah. So that's the before. The during is he distracts or drains me. So during an event, you know, I'm there for an intended purpose. I'd love for you to speak to this, but where that enemy may bring somebody, you know, you want to be available, you want to pray for people, but sometimes there's somebody that has no intention of getting better, and they're talking and talking, talking like a run-on sentence, and you're in there all hours of the night, and you're there for the group, or you're there for someone who would actually be a recipient of what you have to say, and you're so distracted by the one that you miss your intended purpose. And again, I think this could apply in any situation, that he sends distractors, because if he can derail you and minimize your input, what do you think about that one?
For me, that's an ongoing thing. I mean, I think being a campus pastor,
I would agree.
You know, we have a lot of young people who come in, and what the distraction sometimes is I got to get to class, or I'm tired, or they're talking, or they're checking emails. You know, most of the time, God love you, you all know I love you, they're paying attention, but there are times when they're so distracted by things, and I am just wanting to reach out and say, listen to me. I am not preaching this for my own health. I didn't stay up until 5 o'clock in the morning trying to perfect this word to the best of my ability because I don't have anything else to do. I am trying to get you to a place of understanding who God is. And it can be really distracting. And all of a sudden, you're starting to scan and pant, you know, the who's sitting out there. And then the enemy starts to say, they're not listening. And so you almost have to step back from the microphone or step away and say, okay, Lord, help me to recalibrate because or sometimes I've had to close my eyes and just keep preaching or flowing or saying, I'm going away from my notes and Holy Spirit, say something.
Yeah.
Because there's a distraction in the air. And sometimes those distractions are good. You know, they're not to be mean. Sometimes the phone will ring or someone else is talking to them and they're really trying to hear. And so I can't go into mama mode. I have to stay
in
pastor
mode.
Or reaction mode.
You got to stay on task.
I got to stay on the task.
And then the results belong to the Lord. Well, then the after for me is the enemy tries to get me to dissect. He dissects me or I dissect me. Mm-hmm. We're in a way to kind of look at, oh, I should have said this, could have done this, I did it wrong. And
always.
As if I have so much power over the outcome. And now I have a new personal rule that I won't even look at those pieces, you know, for days till I get some rest under my belt. But again, if you notice, all of these get us looking away from God and on ourselves and on what we lack. And that's really the enemy's ultimate ploy, isn't it? To take our eyes off of the resources that we have.
Yes. Always. And it ultimately goes back once again to the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and the power he wants to give us. The power of the Holy Spirit, because we don't submit to those pieces of opposition if we can just stop for one split second and say, no, I'm going to listen to what God has for this. I know he did a work here. I know he did a work here, and I'm just going to walk away, just like what you just said, and I'm not even going to revisit the pieces of what if or this or that or the next thing. But you know what? Just to focus on him and spend time in his presence.
Yeah. You do your best and you leave the rest. Yeah. It's kind of like the boy giving his lunch, you know? You can imagine a wrinkled up little bag and he's handing it over. He couldn't have been too self-aware over, this is all I got. But you give what you got and God does what he does. And that's where the focus needs to be. Well, we probably have about 5 more minutes to take calls and then we'll need to wrap that up. So I want to give you a chance if we can pray with you or maybe you've learned something in the battle along the way. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. Okay, girls, let's spend a little bit of time in Ephesians 6. That's where what I love about the whole book of Ephesians to me, girls, is that one, it speaks of the love of God. You know, to know this love, then you're filled with the fullness. I mean, that's just got to be foundational to us as believers. But then it prepares us for warfare. So in Ephesians 6, it talks about the helmet. The helmet of salvation, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Is there anything you want to say about just what you've learned about the weapons of your warfare?
This journey started when I started, magnified when I started having all these babies. And
She makes that sound so easy, doesn't she?
All these babies.
And, you know, I remember having, I had two really amazing mentors in my life. And, you know, God called me to pray for them and to pray Ephesians 6 over them every single day of their lives. And to this very day, I pray Ephesians 6 over every member of my family. I would have to say almost every day. I rarely miss a day. But I believe this is the armor that we need to be dressed in.
I would say even one of the things I love is how Ephesians 5, I read Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 together, because starting at verse 21, it talks about instructions for Christian households, and it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and then husbands, submit to your wives, husbands, love your wives, and then it goes into children, you know, obey your parents, and those who are working under someone, obey your masters, because those relationships, if they are out of order, they are blockers to the anointing. You can dress in the full armor of God, but if your emotional and spiritual state is out of order, you don't have a prayer. It's like David trying to put on the armor of Saul. It didn't fit.
Right. Good.
And so you have got, for me, it's making sure, am I in check with my husband? Did I drop my children off? Are we at peace with one another? Mm. Did I say something that was rude? Because how am I going to bite the devil? Because the devil's going to say, yeah, but you just spouted off your mouth at your husband, or you were just rude to somebody, or you just were showing your children by saying, move out of the way to the person on the road, that you're not guarded by my spirit. So who are you going to fight?
Yeah.
And so guarding my relationships and my mind, apologizing if I need to apologize, making sure that those relationships are in order, makes the armor fit well.
Good.
It allows me to wield it without fear.
Do you know James 4:7? This is part of what we taped for Monday, so I'll expand on it more on Monday. But James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Submit to God is a military term, and it means get back in rank. Exactly what you said. Our first prayer to stand against the enemy is we ourselves have to get back in rank. And then we can stand against that enemy.
Yes.
Perfect word, Laurel.
Yes.
Okay, Amanda's calling from Iowa. We've got time to take her call. Amanda, welcome.
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. How are you?
Oh, I've had better days. Kind of emotionally being drugged down today, but I'm trying to, maybe you just answered my question with that. I'm trying to get back in line. Something happened this last weekend, which I didn't realize until I was listening to this story, is that we were at church and my husband for the first time walked up front, and I don't know what for, and he was kind of shy about it and didn't really say much to me about it, but I know that that was a big step. But I've just been having, like, an emotional breakdown today.
Are you worried about what he went forward for? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's more everything is targeted at him, like me, all these lies in my head towards him. And I don't know if it's something. I've called a counselor and I'm going tomorrow, but is this the enemy or is it God trying to pull my baggage out that I need to get rid of, which I have been praying for lately, so that could very well be too.
Amanda, I want to just encourage you in the Lord. I want to just speak to you as someone who knows what it is when our own sense of self feels like it's wavering, and sometimes the enemy can cause us to feel suspicious for no reason. And if there aren't reasons there, first let me affirm you in the Lord Jesus Christ to say you are beloved of Almighty God.
Yes.
That the altar is a place where we go and we do our business with God to get whole and healthy. So praise God that he went up there, and know that no matter what he went up there for, God, if he's gone up there and fully laid his heart out before the Lord will instruct and deal with him. I'm proud of you, number two, that you're going to find some help, because as you said, if you've got baggage, my dear, that baggage is part of what is causing you to feel suspicious. Because if you're walking in fear about things in the past and others, and you haven't confessed your sin so that God can forgive you, or if those are things that you're holding back like I did years ago, petrified that somehow would disqualify me, that causes you to look at others with a jaundiced eye because you're afraid that that's how they're going to look at you. So walk in freedom, recognize and know that the Lord God Almighty, who is your strong tower, the righteous, you are the righteous, if you've said yes to Christ, can run into him and be safe. That if this is what God may be using to say, let go, Amanda, let go of the things that you are keeping in your backpack. Let go, because this road is narrow and you can't drag those things with you. Find people to confess that to or with. Twitter one of us. Let us pray with you. You may not know us by face, but listen to us in the spirit and know that when we took the chance to cry out for help to someone and confess our sins, he was faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you then do that, you can stand hand in hand with your husband saying, I don't need to know everything. All I need to know is that you love Jesus and that you're going to stay in his face and in his presence. Because when you do that, God in time will give him the strength, should he choose to tell you what that's about.
And Amanda, then you'll have the grace to...
Look up Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance, and that's the word, that's a key word, the race that is set before us. We're launching a conference this spring called Free to Fly, and the entire conference is about letting go, cutting the strings, and letting go of the weights that beset every single one of us at different intervals of the journey.
Yes.
I hope you can get to that, Amanda. How can they find that? How can she find that online?
She can go to www.freetobeconference.org. And iTickets are doing reservations, and we're ready to go.
And people come from all over the Upper Midwest.
All over the Upper Midwest.
It's a big conference. Probably a couple thousand will be there.
At least.
And you will have a worship experience like you've never had before.
Lisa Tatursk and Francesca, Shandi Feldhahn, and the Afters, and it goes on and on, and lots of ministers. Times. But the whole theme is about free to fly, cutting loose the suitcase.
Well, I hope you can make
it,
honey. God bless you. I'm so glad you called. God bless you. I'm going to be thinking about you. Well, we just have a minute, literally a minute before we have to pray. I'd love for each of you just to say a quick word about why the battle is worth it. For that person who goes, yeah, but I don't really want that fight, but they're a believer. What do you say? Is the battle worth it?
The battle is worth it because I know the Lord would not call us to a battle that we have not already won. The word tells us from Genesis to Revelation that we are already more than conquerors, that because of the finished work on the cross, it's done. And when we can trust Jesus, he's not asking us to trust the whole world. He's not even asking you to trust, you know, and put all of your confidence in your spouse, your children. He's asking you to trust him. It's worth it because if you want to live a life of miracles, if you want to open the word of God and say that wasn't just something for 2,000 years ago, but it happens today. If you really want that, then you've got to step out. And I'm telling you, you meet incredible women, sisters for life, that walk with you, brothers for life, people who will stand at your rear guard, people who will stand at your side. And you start to see that even in a world full of turmoil, you start to see the almighty hand of God in places and in things that if you had not had him, they could have taken you under. It's worth it. And I cannot see everything that is in front of me. I have a lot of life to live, Lord willing, and a lot to do. But I can tell you, I do not know how people exist and live without the abiding and intimate presence of God.
And that's what it's all about. It's about that intimacy. It's about everything is about relationships.
Yeah.
And it is about that intimate relationship with him.
And what we do here echoes into eternity. So if we're willing to stand in battle and trust that he is our guide and he's got us, boy, we're going to see something on the other side. Would you just close, Laurel, and just pray for Amanda and those like her who are just feeling at the crossroads, feeling a little beat up? Could you just pray a word of encouragement?
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the matchless name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that he is the God of all comfort, and we bless you and we praise you. That you are intimate, God, that you're acquainted with all of our ways.
Yes.
Lord, I lift up our sister Amanda. Yep. Lord, I thank you that you are El Roy. You are the God who sees, that you are El Elyon. You're the possessor of heaven and earth. That, Lord God, you are Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace.
Yes.
And I pray right now for Amanda and all of our sisters and our brothers who are out there who want to know that you are a God who sees. Lord God, I praise you and I thank you that you see us, that you saw me, that you saw Amanda, that you saw Carol, that you see her, that you see each one of us.
Thank you, Father.
And I praise you and I thank you. And I pray that your intimate and sweet Holy Spirit would invade where they are right now, that you would wrap yourself as a blanket around them, that they, Lord God, would sense your deep and abiding presence, that they will know that they are never alone. For when you cry out, Lord God, when they cry out, you will hear them. And so I pray for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Laurel and Carol, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Loved it. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Give us a moment. The podcast will be up. You can send it out by Twitter, Facebook, email with a click of a button. Tune in tomorrow. One of my favorite guests will be back on, Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tab. And he's written a book titled Spirit Rising. We're talking about the Holy Spirit again tomorrow. And he will he'll surprise you with his insights. Finally, I'm going to leave you with this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Walk intimately with him.